the psalmist is talking about his depression, his sorrow, and so forth. But we're going to look at verse 5, kind of sum some things up here. Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why am I so depressed?" the psalmist says. "Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God." You know, a person's hope is revealed to themselves and others during the darkest times of their lives. So it is in times of trouble, then, that a person's true fortitude of belief and hope is exposed. Our Daily Bread once contained the following. A little over a month before he died, the famous atheist Jean-Paul Sartre declared that he so strongly resisted feelings of despair that he would say to himself, "I know I shall die in hope." Then, in profound sadness, he would add, "But hope needs a foundation." What a sad thing. And many of you know that my dad was recently diagnosed with a degenerative disease that has no cure. It has no symptomatic relief. He will continue to deteriorate over the course of months, possibly years, hopefully years, and he will pass. And when talking to my dad, who met Jesus as his Lord, as his Savior at age 21, has sought God with his life all my life and those years before, when talking to him, even in moments of real discouragement, because folks, it's discouraging, he still praises God Almighty for the life that he's had. And even though he has to go everywhere now in a walker, he can barely bend over to pick something up with fear of falling because of his balance issues, and he's having to drive less and less and less, and soon won't be able to drive, things like that. Even with all that, and then his speech, he gets harder and harder to understand. Even in those times, though, he still is praising God that God's allowing him to continue in life still. Now, honestly, I've said before, I said, if my dad faced this any other way, I would be surprised. Because I've had the privilege of knowing this man for a long time. But even strong Christians in his church and so forth, he's been a tremendous testimony to some of those folks who are dealing with things in their lives. So the question may be asked, how can he have such hope? How can he have such hope? Because folks, you don't have that kind of attitude without hope. Real, true hope. And the answer is simple, yet complex. Because those years ago, when he was 21, he submitted his will to God through Jesus Christ by calling upon Jesus as Lord or commander of his life and fulfiller of his eternity. And so now he has a foundation of hope in God. And as Scripture teaches in Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous is joy, but the expectation of the wicked comes to nothing. And that describes these two men, that atheist. His hope came to nothing. My dad's hope comes to joy. However, to hope for something that is known in a physical sense is not really hope. Think of this. In other words, if we hope for rain or sunshine, or for a particular outcome because of some action or inaction, that's not really hope. Because it's something that we have seen and or it's been proven before. And therefore, it can be known or predicted because of what's happened in the past. True hope is a hope for something unknown. Please listen. It's a hope for something unknown based solely on the perceived qualities or character of the object which the hope is based. Now I'm going to let it be clearer because I think Scripture will say it more plainly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Folks, when we hope for something that we don't know, how many of you have met somebody that went to heaven, hung out with Jesus, saw the streets of gold, came back alive as you and I, and literally could tell us about it? Now, I'm not talking about this little kid that's written this book and all that. I'm not talking about that, folks. I'm talking about real deal. They've walked the streets of gold, and they came back. They hugged Jesus. Anybody know this? Anybody know anybody? Folks, this is a hope that we haven't seen, but it is sure. That's true hope. That's amazing hope. This verse of Scripture says that there's a reality of hope based on this faith. There's a reality of hope. The reality of biblical hope is based upon the character of Almighty Creator God. Three persons in one: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why am I differentiating that? I'm doing that because, folks, we are coming into a world that even in Christian realms, they're trying to say that Allah, because the Muslims worship one God, that He is the same God. Folks, He's not the same God. Because they are worshiping one God. One God. We worship God, three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In 1 John, we find out if you don't worship that way, you don't worship God. Folks, this is for real. We need to understand this. And we base our hope then on the character of Almighty Creator God. The existence of God and His characteristics are based on the individual's faith. This is not extraordinary. It's not extraordinary. Because for a person to not believe in God, listen to this, for a person not to believe in God would take just as much faith. But then, whatever hope they have is also based on nothing. That's what that atheist found. He's dying and he's not allowing himself to get discouraged because he's going to die with hope. But then he realizes, I have no foundation for my hope. So he had faith that there was no God. He even said he had hope, but his faith was nothing and his hope was nothing. We have faith in Almighty Creator God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And then our hope is based on everything that God is. That's a foundation. Unshakable, unmovable, it is a solid rock. So, it's not so bold a statement for the writer of Hebrews to state that biblical hope is reality. When we realize that the hope we have is real, then we can maybe understand a little more what the Apostle Paul tells us when he says that we should become, and it should cause us to become alive within our spirit, even during the darkest moments life throws at us. Much like my dad faces. And if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And folks, this is a powerful passage. It's one that, honestly, preachers love to preach and nobody likes to hear it. Frankly, the preacher doesn't like to hear it either. He just likes to preach it. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Paul said this, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope, of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces, everybody say it,
hope.
This hope will not disappoint us. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What a beautiful thought. The more we suffer. Now listen to this. This is what none of us want to hear. The more we suffer any kind of affliction, be it physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, persecution from outside of us, the more we suffer it and endure, the more godly character we develop. The more we start looking like Jesus, folks. And then the more hope that we'll have. Our hope, this is what's so amazing to me, is that a true believer going through tough times, difficult things, persecution even, they end up having their foundation strengthened, not rattled, not shaken, not cracked. It's strengthened because their hope is strengthened. Folks, I believe a foundation of the Christian life is hope. Hope. You know what? I've known Christians that have had things happen in their lives and it has rattled their faith. Rattled their faith to where they almost go, I don't know if God's real. But I've also found even in those same people, they still, because they're true believers that have had their faith rattled. Now hear me out. I have still found in their lives, they still have hope. Because in their spirit, even though they, in their flesh and in their mentality and in their whole psyche, they've just been rattled in their faith, they still have hope in their spirit which belongs to God. And I also find that that hope sustains them. And sometimes years later, they come back and find that maybe they didn't personally endure. But they find that at some point, they start coming back and they start realizing all that God had done during those times. And it starts building character in their lives. And then their hope is even strengthened greater, even if it happens years later. This same hope was existent even in Old Testament times. You see, the Old Testament say they look to the hope of the coming Messiah. The prophet Jeremiah, you talk about someone living a life of persecution, folks, even to the point that he was killed for the cause of Almighty God. Living this life of persecution in Lamentations, he says this, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24, I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. Wow. The point here is that the Lord God is all we need to cling to, especially when we're going through the tough stuff, the rough roads. He is enough for our hope. Hear me out. God is enough for our hope. Now, for some of us, we might be going through some tough stuff right now. And you're needing this just to bolster your faith, bolster your hope in who God is. And for some of us, we might be heading into some rough, tough stuff. And we need to be able to draw back on this and remember, the Lord is my portion. I will put my hope in Him. And we're going to need to remember that. Because we're either, I forget who put this, someone may remember, we're either just coming out of trials, or we're right in the middle of them, or we're heading to them. David Jeremiah. That's right, and you were the one that had told me that. So Tommy told me that Dr. David Jeremiah had said that. And it's true. It's absolutely true. So we need to understand our hope is in God. We have the full revelation of God's plan today. The Old Testament saints didn't, but we do. We are soon to celebrate the birthday of God's Son, Jesus the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But the birth, remember, as I just talked about, it was just the start. It was just the start of our base for hope. I believe it was approximately 300 prophecies were fulfilled at the birth of Christ. I remember a friend of mine telling me that he had done some ministry in China, where they go over and they teach at a university or something like that. And one was a statistician, and he went over, and they could use anything they wanted. So he used the biblical prophecies of the birth of Christ, took them to the Old Testament, and they looked at all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and then they statistically tried to work out the possibilities of all those prophecies being fulfilled in one man. It was a statistical impossibility. And then they saw, he pointed out in the New Testament, how all these things happened through Jesus. And he had a bunch of his students get saved. Just think of this. He came, and we're going to celebrate. Ours is not an expectation of his birth. He's already been born. But we're going to be celebrating the fact that because he was born, fulfilling prophecy, because he lived a perfect life from birth to death, because he was willing to die at the hands of his creation as payment for my sin, your sin, the sin of the world, because he conquered the grave, death, and hell, because he was risen by his own power, bodily risen, and is alive today, we have continued hope. Not a new hope, folks. The Old Testament saints, they hoped in a coming Messiah. We're hoping in the coming King. And folks, He will be coming. He will be coming. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The bottom line, I think, is summed up in a hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. Now, I don't know what hymn number that is, but if you know any of this of it, why don't you sing it with me? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen to the second verse. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Everyone. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood, supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The final verse is this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now someone may think that I actually put my sermon together after this, looking at this hymn. I didn't. I pulled this out at the very last. And I was, if you looked at the points of my sermon, each one of these verses was every point of the sermon. God's hope is sure hope. Let's put our trust in God. So our challenge today is, are we putting our trust in God, in God alone? Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much that we can hope in you, that your character is so sure, so solid, that even when we falter, you never will. And our spirit, as if we are true believers, our spirit truly will never falter, even if in our flesh we do. May we rest in the hope that you are God. And as Scripture tells us, it is a hope that will not disappoint. But help us, Almighty God, in the rough patches of our life, to not allow our faith to wane, to endure, to persevere, to build that godly character, to become more like Jesus, so that our hope will be even stronger within us. And then, may we go out, starting today, sharing that hope in this hopeless world, the hope of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful time to do it when we celebrate the start, the foundation of our hope, the birth of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen.